Welcome to Courage Under the Stars with Michael Vieira. That's me. I am Michael Vieira. Here I speak off the cuff with people that I find interesting. We are going to sit in a darkened room and just yap, allowing you to eavesdrop. I tell my guests no politics, no religion, but otherwise, I don't care what we talk about, as long as it comes from the heart. I hope even just a small part of it resonates with you. Some of it will, some of it won't, and that's okay. But I'm just glad you're here. I really do love all of you, and thanks for coming. Let's get this thing started, huh? Mia, so we're going to start here, okay. And to which I would guess right off the bat, I would say I'm probably your best friend, right?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure why you're laughing about that.
You have known me longer than many people, and you've definitely known me more intimately than most. And in a professional work, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
It's funny you say that because I remember once we were talking about all the work we do, and you had said you oftentimes use our photography shoots as therapy. Do you recall that? And if so, what did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, when you and I shoot, it's like, it's a place for me to express myself without words, and just kind of be where I'm at, even if that's just even in the moment, which is so wonderful. It's just, you don't get to really be in the moment that much in life. So it's just, it's therapy to be somewhere and just be there, and kind of explore what's going on.
I don't know if you had the same feeling. I know you did. I don't know why I'm saying I don't know if you did, but I shot a million people, men and women, and I was always the most comfortable and adventurous with you. And I don't know why I felt that way. I still don't, even as I'm saying it. I don't know why. Do you?
So one thing I've been thinking about is that we, when we worked in casting together, and, you know, you started just doing like Instagram pics of the day.
Yeah.
And you would just take photos, and like, you know, I was kind of your beginning
very true
subject.
Yeah.
And so I just think, you know, like at that point, maybe even you thought, well, this is just like this silly thing, or, you know, it's something I enjoy, not silly, but something I enjoy, but didn't know, I mean, the evolution that it would take. And, you know, you're extremely talented.
Thanks.
And so it was just kind of, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of like that. I feel that it's because of our background and the fact that we were working companions and friends before we started taking photos, you know?
That's true too. And almost by virtue of what you were saying, maybe it's because we were kind of, even though you'd been modeling well before I got you, it was a little bit of, we're in it together from the start.
Yeah. Definitely. I think we both really wanted a place to like grow and be great artistically. So
did you ever feel like you were cheating when you were shoot with other photographers?
Sometimes, yeah.
Not seriously, really?
No, I mean,
damn you.
I mean, yes and no. You know, I always, it's good for me to shoot with other photographers, but yeah. I always enjoyed shooting with you because there's that, 30 minutes of me adjusting to this stranger, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, honestly, I found that if I shot with anyone other than you, I preferred to shoot with women.
Why is that?
there was a little bit less getting comfortable time. I don't know, you know.
I think that's inherent in the type of photography that you
probably
do.
I just felt, you know, but yeah, I didn't have to, you know, like, do I need to have my guard up or, you know.
I know.
In my younger years dealing with photography and photographers, I have some weird, creepy stories. So,
I can imagine. Oh, know. Please tell me one.
Oh. Well, my agent, he's my first manager. he's from New York. He was like amazing. he was an amazing. Anyways, he set me up with this photographer who's fairly famous from Australia, and I used to do makeup for him and also shoot with him. And he, you know, I honestly was just really vulgar. Yeah. And, you know, he wanted me to like, and I'm in my 20s. So, and he wanted me to use a cucumber and
yeah.
just like kind of, and you know, this is not, I'm not wanting to be a porn star.
Right.
Wasn't the route. And it was very awkward because it was my manager too, that had connected me and they were longtime friends. And he was, like I said, he is and was a pretty famous photographer. So it put a rift in. I mean, I never, you know, that was like kind of the end of that relationship.
Were you able to escape that or did you just play it out?
I like was able to escape it by playing it out. It's not like I just like, I've never, unfortunately, I wish I was, but I've never have been like a person that's just like, fuck you. I didn't get angry. I kind of like laughed it off and played it off and, you know, like didn't do what he wanted to do, but held the cue. You know, it's like I played the line, which is unfortunate, but it's true about me. Like I never was.
True. I know who you are.
I didn't get upset. Like, honestly, I would hope that if I have a daughter, she would.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, you do have a sense, in my opinion, of wanting everybody to think you're nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too much. A little too much. You wish that would change.
I wish it would change, but I just don't even think. I mean, this literally just happened today. I was telling my fiance that I couldn't find my debit card. And he goes, oh, I saw it in the house and I saw a card and I just threw it away. And I was like, oh, well, that's okay. And my fiance, I wasn't upset at all. I was like, oh, that's okay. I just ordered a new one. And he was like, you're so weird. He's like, people get angry at these things. Like, he's like, you should be angry right now.
That's so true.
And I was like, it's not worth it. I already handled it.
Okay, but you know what I think of that is, because I've changed so much. And like for me, I'm totally with you. It's like, okay, I can't control that. So I'm not going to let it get me. I don't want to dictate how you feel. But I want you to tell me why. Why is it that you're able to get past that?
Well, like the debit card or like, you know.
The debit card.
The debit card situation is exactly that. It's just like, there's way too many other things in life to be upset about.
Yeah.
And one thing I appreciate about that I don't get that angry is that when I do get angry, people know something's wrong.
True.
My anger, if it comes, there's a problem. Yeah. And I know it too, right? Like even for me, the dealing with like sexual, that kind of stuff, the other stuff.
Yeah.
To me, there's a little bit of socialization and some things that I definitely didn't have down in my 20s. I don't know if I would have been in that situation now. I probably would have told the guy. I probably would have told him off
in
a nice way. But yeah. I would have said that's inappropriate. But in my 20s, I was, you know, and also I was like still, like I said, he had a relationship with my manager. And so, yeah. But anyways,
I think you're still in that vein. I mean, I don't know, but would you, in this day and age, would you laugh it off and then still continue to shoot? Or would it be the time to walk out the door?
No, I think that it's possible. I still catch myself laughing off things that honestly, it's like, that's not really funny to you, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, I also don't feel, Yeah, I don't know how I would have reacted in that situation. I think it would have been a little different. I would have just said, I'm not into this.
I hate it because I hate it as a photographer, yeah, but I hate it more as your friend, knowing that it happened. I mean, there's nothing we can do or could do, blah, 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 but ugh.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Yeah. It's unfortunate. I mean, interestingly enough, I could tell you another story, but not, it wasn't about a photographer, but
you can tell me.
But a disgusting Hollywood story. And actually I was again introduced to this guy through my manager. So
isn't that weird?
This guy was a Disney exec.
Okay.
And he seemingly was very professional up front. You know, I only met him at Disney and, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say Disney.
Well, don't say any names.
No, I won't. Of course not. So, you know, I met him a couple times there and it was very professional. And he said, you know, was going to just kind of assist me with my reel.
Yeah.
It seemed fine. And then I think probably the third or fourth time that we were going to meet up, he said, he invited me to dinner. Now the dinner was the switch. Basically I think it was like the day before dinner, I received, something from, Victoria's Secret in Yikes. The mail. Yeah. And I did go see him at dinner. I should not have, but right. I did. And he basically offered, you know, he said he was married and had kid and he just wanted someone who understood the deal and, you know, would take care, basically kind of take care of me or help me.
Yeah.
And also help what he could with the career. And I sat and had dinner with him and then I went home and, obviously I was devastated. I cried a lot. I was in a relationship and I told my boyfriend what happened and, he was kind of the Hollywood type himself.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, this happens and,
wow.
That's
a weird reaction.
It was a weird reaction. I was, you know, really upset. I thought it was terrible. Like, just thinking about like his wife and kids and
yeah.
Even if they agreed to it, how terrible that must be.
Sure.
And I don't know. So yeah, that's another interesting.
I mean, it's amazing because not only those are just two stories enough that are like more than enough. And they both happen to you.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, I mean, I really don't want our conversation to just like end up being about that, but I have, you know, probably a few more.
Well, I'll tell you.
And I think I'll tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do think, I mean, I'm not blaming myself by any means, but you know me and I'm a really like open person.
Right.
And people feel safe around me.
Very true.
And that doesn't mean that I deserve it or anything. I'm not saying that, but it just makes people feel comfortable. So
I know what you mean. Yeah, you definitely you don't seem like there's a stop button, and it, not in a bad way. You just seem very open and receptive.
Yeah. So sometimes
people misinterpret it and abuse it.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a good story. What's your good Hollywood story?
Good Hollywood story. I mean, you and I are.
That's true. Do you remember where we met?
Well, I remember us like actually getting, because, you know, we worked. We went to a play with my friend.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's how we met. And I didn't put two and two together when we met at work. I don't know what, a year later?
Yeah. I mean, or even less, you know?
And I was like, oh, hi, Mia, the new girl here. But when I met you, you were Maria.
Right.
And you had long hair. And I was just like, oh, this, I don't know why. I just didn't connect the dots, but.
Maria and Mia tend to be different. Like even my stepson, like when he really wants something or when he's like trying to talk me into something, he will pull out Maria.
Like he's manipulating you.
Yeah, he's like, Maria, please, Maria, please.
Like he thinks that's the name you want to be called.
It's like I don't know what it is. It's so weird, but he does. It's like, please, Maria.
What is the deal, Maria? Because I do call you Maria, and every once in a while I call you Mia because it's ingrained in me. But a few years ago you had mentioned, hey, I wouldn't mind if you called me Maria again. Why? How come?
Okay, well, as I'm sitting here with you thinking about things and the whole using Mia instead of Maria, some of it is what we just talked about. Some of it was my experiences that I had as Maria, trying to be an actor, model. And I thought that naming myself a professional name and saying to myself, Mia Eden is a professional, and you can separate and need to separate like who you are personally from your professional persona, which I felt would empower me in situations like that I had been in the past, you know?
Right.
I had hoped that it would like let me take like my private side and personal side and even some of these kindnesses and understand that sometimes like I can't do that. I have to be, you know, the business, you got to step up and be a professional. So I think that's what happened. I was like, I wanted Mia to be my, an entity that was, you know, just respected as a professional basically. And then I could still have Maria be this personal and private person.
I would say that you have been Mia for so long that you probably can see yourself on a personal level as Mia at this point.
I do. And that's the thing. The interesting thing is that I don't think it helped at all. I can't change who I am.
Right.
And even working on myself, even working, trying to be more assertive or whatever in these situations, it's just hard for me. It's against my nature. So now more than anything, I prevent myself from being in situations that I know are probably not the best for me. Luckily at this point, I'm certainly not desperate for any opportunities when it comes to work.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I want to go into if my agent gets me an audition, fantastic. If work that I got in the past got me a job, that's
right,
awesome. But I'm not trying to make new relationships with people and go through any kind of power, you know.
I like it. Makes it easy on your soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you pretty well, and I think you're pretty well put together emotionally, but you do have issues at times where it's hard for you to rise above it. But I guess my point is, do I have it right? Are you kind of, do you have your shit together?
I don't always feel like I do, but I do think I have a pretty good understanding of my, I have a pretty good understanding of my emotional needs, and I have like a lot of empathy for other people too. So I kind of have a good emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. I think for you, you still put other people before yourself though, as far as your own emotional needs.
Probably. Okay. No, yeah, I do. And interestingly enough, it's one of the things that, I think I've basically decided it's not going to change. And
what's specific, what do you mean? What's not going to change?
I just, it's really, you know, whatever. I think that my mom actually told me when I was 2 years old, you know, like a little thing, that if anybody was like sad around me or mad around me, that I would want to give them hugs. And she was like, I mean, you know, that's very weird. Like strangers, I would be,
but and, cool.
So it's kind of like, you know, for a long time and still sometimes I get frustrated with myself because it's like, no, like if I had a friend that told me they're not, you know, whatever it may be, different situation, you're like putting them, other people first, I would be like, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I do get frustrated, but then a lot of times it's like, it's just kind of who I am. And I get I mean, honestly, I get frustrated if I feel that I'm not, I've been frustrated lately because I feel like I'm not doing enough for other people, for like the world, for people, for other people. I'm caring for my family and, but like, you know, I used to work with kids and,
And you're not doing so much of that.
I'm not doing so much of that. And I've been feeling very not great about that, you know, like, I don't know.
Is it something you're going to get back to or you're just not sure?
I hope so. But right now we actually have a family business. It's only he and I right now. So, and it's growing, which is great.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what's going on in the belly?
So, I got a baby going on in the belly.
Got a little baby coming.
Yeah. Four months pregnant.
Crazy.
It's insane. I thought that I was going to have long blonde hair with extensions right now and the best body ever. That was my goal.
Yeah.
After I had a miscarriage during the pandemic and it was really hard and lonely. but it took about a year for me to process it.
What's the, what do you mean by lonely?
Oh, well, it was during the pandemic and when I got pregnant, it wasn't something we planned or wanted. So there was a little bit of, you know, and it was a lot going on. So it was stressful. But I obviously was, and probably when I first found out, I really wasn't excited about it. Then you go to the doctor, no one's allowed to go with you. So it was me by myself.
Yeah. Right.
And it just kind of felt like I was pregnant by myself, you know, like, ew. And it's hard for the person in who you're living with, like, it's not obvious, you know, you don't have this big belly right away.
Right.
So there's a disconnect. It's like, you're kind of, you are alone, you know, I mean, and then I basically, you know, didn't find out. I went to my 12-week screening, the ultrasound. And when I got there, I was again alone. Mm. I had the fetus was only about 7 weeks, and you know they said they didn't say this baby's gone or anything. They just said is there something wrong with your timing or maybe it's younger. So I had to wait 2 more weeks. I pretty much knew there wasn't anything wrong with the timing. Like I'm like clockwork.
Yeah.
So I pretty much knew that something had happened. But I waited 2 weeks, no growth. I went to the doctor and demanded that someone just tell me like I'm having a miscarriage.
You mean
no one would say to me, you just lost your baby. Like no
and
one
you
would,
felt like they
no
should have been
say
able to
do
me, that.
You're having a miscarriage or you had a miscarriage.
Right.
And yes, in my mind, like someone should have. I was the one who basically looked at my doctor's eyes and said, I had a miscarriage. And she said, it seems so. It's just like, you know, it was that really, it just really sucked. And
not being able to have your partner right there at that moment too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And also because I feel like, and I don't know if anybody other, I'm sure women would feel this way, but like, it felt like almost a made up situation that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I would wake up in the middle of the night and just like feel like I was in a nightmare. Cause I had this living I had a living being inside and then it was gone. So I just, it was, you know, and when you're in it, you feel like you're never going to have that opportunity again. And in a way you don't. Like, I now have a baby, but I don't believe, I mean, it's not the same spirit. I maybe it is, but I don't think so.
Oh yeah. I see what you're saying. I would feel like it's a new spirit.
I think it's a new spirit. And so that spirit came and hung out with me for a little while and seems like to me made a good decision. There is less concerns now. Like, I was really wondering how I was going to have the pregnant, you know, if how childbirth was going to happen, was I going to have to be alone. So it, that these things I came to peace with. And I also had just, you know, my family, my partner and my stepson don't really want another one.
Oh.
I mean, they say that, but you know, ready or not. And so I had come to peace. I said, Mom, I'm just going to be a stepmom. And there's some positives about that. Cause I could have some alone time sometimes.
Yeah.
It's already really hard to be a stepmom and, be running a business with your person, you know, it's pretty all consuming.
And you're going to be an older mom.
Yes.
You're
an older mom.
Do you want to tell me?
I'm 41.
Yeah.
Well, on Monday.
On Monday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's crazy though.
And so, yeah, it is. I feel young.
Yeah. Well, you know what, surprised the hell out of me, and I'll pay you this compliment. Was, I don't know if it's a compliment, but a thank you, really. But back in my day of all my, you know, homelessness and suicidal drama, when I came out of all that, I don't know, even know if you told me, but if you remember, but one day you told me, I can't believe you came out of that. You're a warrior, V. And man, that meant a lot to me. And I say that right back to you because I remember when the miscarriage happened and you were pretty, I mean, obviously down, and you came out of it really well. And I say to you, you're a warrior.
Thanks, V. Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it is that we don't really have a choice. I mean, you know, you do have a choice. Mm-hmm. You have a choice to basically get up and find some joy or get up and be angry and sad all the time.
Right.
And so, like, honestly, angry and sad, it gets exhausting.
Yeah. There's a great quote from Maya Angelou. And I can't remember the exact words, but it's like, you know, all right, so these circumstances are not your fault, but you're not going to be, you don't have to be defined by them.
Yeah. I am still super proud of you. I don't know. I just like, I have seen you become a different person, I feel like, in Thanks. So many ways.
Yay. I'm glad because I feel that in myself. And I'm glad to know that people that care about me see it as well.
Yeah, definitely see it.
It's weird because sometimes some of the people that are close to me don't see it. And I'm a little befuddled by that. But yet people who see me every once in a while are like, hey, what's changed about you?
Interesting. So you're bringing up something I thought about, like that people who, I think it's a big mistake that we make in our relationships with people.
Yeah.
Especially what you said, like people that you see all the time or more frequently.
Yeah.
We make this assumption and we start living under this assumption that we know that person. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Like we just fill in the blanks. We basically assume like well, I know this person. I don't. So we're not allowing for what is actually always happening with people, which is they're changing. They're making different, like, you know, inside we, like, at any point in our life can just be like, I don't like this. You know, I said earlier, there's things I can't change about myself, but a lot of times there's things that it's like, wait, I'm going to stop doing that. Like, I'm just done with that. And when we're, yeah, like, I understand. I was thinking it's the biggest problem in even my relationship on my part is assuming that I know what's going on with my partner all the time. I do not know.
You mean in his soul?
Yeah. Like, yeah. What's going on and what kind of person he is today versus yesterday.
I think we end up not having these types of conversations with people we give a shit about. We do it with the people that we don't care about, that are just like peripheral friends, and we're willing to give them that time. But when we get home, we don't sit down and say, hey, not just how was your day, but what's going on inside you?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know how that happens, but it really 100% does happen.
I don't know if it's true or not, but cause I don't know shit, but, I feel like it's a little bit of, we take that person for granted. It's like, I know this person's going to be here when I get home. I know he's not going anywhere. And, as opposed to the friend who you haven't seen in 6 months, it's like, oh, hey, you're getting all my energy and fun and inquiries.
Yeah. I think you're right. I don't know how we would like kind of work on that and change that, because it would be nice to have these conversations with people that we see every day or, you know, frequently.
Yeah. I know for me, I'm excited because I'm going to have this conversation with my brother very soon. And although we're close, we don't talk this way.
Yeah, that's going to be really awesome.
Well, as I know that there's no way you're not still dealing with it, even though you may not be aware of it. Man, I love you. And I'm always putting my arms around you for this thing.
Thanks, V. Love you too. Yeah, but it's hard to say, like, I feel very good about it now, but I also have a baby growing in me. I'm pretty sure that helps. I'm pretty sure that helps with, like, what you were talking about, purpose.
Right.
I need a purpose. If I'm not working with kids, fine, then I guess I'm going to raise them.
I'll have my own.
So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
I can't believe it either. And by the way, yeah, you're 41, and you were talking about you wanted to have this great body. Shut up. You're smoking hot. You've got this little cocoon where your belly should be. But otherwise, you're like still hot babe Mia.
Thanks. I am not. It's going to be interesting.
So obviously, I know you're happy because of the your pregnancy. Very exciting. But what else do you do these days what do you do that makes you happy?
Go swimming.
Get out of here.
We have a place. We have a pool.
You have a pool at your house?
At our apartment.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, that's really nice. I love when we get to spend time as a family. Like, we really, I swear to you, and he works even harder than me, but we're working all the time.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully there's an end to that in terms of, like, more balance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my favorite times are when we're actually all getting to have some fun together, playing video games.
You play video games.
Yeah, we play video games.
Mia Eden, what's your favorite game?
I've always played video games.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I played a lot more when I was in high school. But I mean,
well, wait a minute.
We play them together.
Yeah.
I don't play any by myself.
Okay.
And that's mainly because I don't have that much time. If I'm by myself, I'm taking a shower and grooming.
Wow.
I just love that. I mean, if we get down to it, like my favorite thing to do is to take a bath, brush my hair, put lotion on, like groom, massage.
Yeah. Like, okay.
That's what I want all the time.
All right. I lost interest in that because I need to know what your favorite video game of all time is.
My favorite video game of all time. Okay. Well, so my family knows me to be, I played Nintendo, right?
Sure.
So I'm like the queen, and my cousins will tell people this, of Super Mario. And so, you know, I'm like old school.
Sure.
Old school video games. Yep. Super Mario, even some Duck Hunt, like, you know.
It's yeah. Sonic. Duck Hunt was awesome. For its time, Duck Hunt was awesome. Yeah. All right. So dig this. Go with me here, because if you say you played all the way back to Nintendo, that means you went into at least the first and second PlayStation, correct?
Yeah. Definitely the first, and then second, maybe like a couple games.
Well, my favorite of all time, and I'm excited because I'm hoping you're going to say, oh, I loved it, V. Siphon Filter.
I didn't play it.
Do you even
Breaking
know
your
it?
Heart. Nope. I don't think so.
Why are we even friends? Why are we even friends?
So I played James Bond all the time. Bond 007.
Yeah, for sure.
In high school all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and Mario Kart. With my boyfriend's roommate. I used to hang out with my boyfriend's roommate more than my boyfriend.
Is there a story there?
Nope. I mean, other than just like my boyfriend was always at work and I wasn't. And
you know, he liked you.
They lived in that. I don't think so. I mean, you know, I don't know, but right. I'll tell you, he never ever.
Good.
Yeah. It was a very platonic
good for
relationship,
him.
Which was awesome. I didn't have a lot of those with like. You know, so it was nice.
All right. Well, listen, if you ever get PlayStation 2, I think it is, you're going to want to get Siphon Filter because it's timeless. And if you loved Bond, you're going to love Siphon Filter.
Okay. Yeah. Video games.
Video games. Hold on. Man, I just lost my thought. You said something about the roommate.
And I think about you sometimes and I just wonder, like, are you doing photography? Are you missing it? What's, you know?
I miss photography for sure. But more than I miss photography, I miss my ability to just, you know, bend down and take a shot. It's like I'm limited if I want to shoot now to just sitting on a stool and taking a shot. So it's, the fun is gone. So, yeah, in a nutshell, I miss photography.
How are you getting over that? I mean, that's frustrating.
Ask me again. I've lost you.
How do you get over that? Meaning, like, to me, that's sort of a loss.
Yeah.
It's like a loss. It is. So how do you feel and how, you know, how have you dealt with that? And
you know what? It's really kind of the same thing you were saying. It's a choice. I can either sit here and say, I can't do photography, which I did for a long time. And then one day I just said, you know what? No, I'm going to be happy. It's all about gratitude. It's all about gratitude. I'm happy for everything. And I try to stay in the moment. The moment and the gratitude together are the most important things. Once you start thinking about the past or worrying about the future, forget about it. You're fucked. So I love it. I don't lament. I did follow this guy, and I still do, Kyle Cease.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I wouldn't even call him an inspirational speaker, but maybe that's what his title is. But he just kind of tells you a guideline for how to make the proper choices in your life to be happy. And one of the things he teaches you is just to address, you know, these things that are bad. If you don't like this thing, don't push it down and put it in your pocket. Recognize it and see it, address it. And then that way it'll allow you to move on. Because if you don't move on, you're always going to be carrying around the baggage of this thing that went wrong in your life.
Yeah. To be honest, it's so to me, it's really inspiring, and it's because I have known you for a long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like when, you know, I first, when years ago, this conversation would not have happened. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Really?
I feel like, you know, I feel like you used to make fun of me for quotes. You know, and
I used to love making fun of you for your stupid quotes. And I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but I used to love making fun of you. They were so dumb. And then those quotes, I started learning who I am today is because of those memes that you, not you specifically posted, but that everybody would post. And I was like, well, these actually make sense. And I'd start paying attention to them. And those are what helped change me.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I think it's good, but here's what actually, I kind of flipped the other way where I got to a point where I was tired of hearing people say motivational things, but when it comes from you,
yeah,
I listen, because it's like, I don't know. It's the problem is that it does become sort of wrapped up in like this flowery bullshit sometimes.
Right.
And you know, the person, like I'm thinking of somebody that I know that I think is full of shit.
Yeah.
And she constantly does this like positive stuff. And that's, I know it's bullshit from right. her.
Yeah.
But when it comes from you, it's like, so I just know it's real and it's, and yeah,
I would say two things to that. Number one, yeah, when you know it's like this person needs to read their own meme more than I do,
yeah,
then it's like it's just so annoying even today. But I would say this to what you said earlier, and you can completely tell me if I'm wrong, but one of the things I've always liked about myself is that, yeah, I may have come across as crude, not may, I was crude and gruff and blah, blah, blah. But anybody who knew me, in my opinion, knew that I had a good soul and I would have this sort of talk, but I really truthfully want to know, you don't think it was that way? That was
no,
my misconception.
I do think that, like, that's why we've been friends. You know, I tend to like people that come off rough, but are not rough inside.
Yeah.
I really do. I would say my fiance's a little bit like that.
Oh, nice.
Like, he doesn't read really warm and fuzzy right up front. But he's a good person.
And you gotta be, right? Because otherwise, I don't want to hang out with that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you would always have that conversation, but it's different. I really feel like you're really living that. And I don't know.
I feel like maybe what you're saying or what I would say to that is now I just feel more well-rounded. Before, yeah. I think there's less of bullshit Michael and much more soulful Michael.
Yeah, I agree.
As a matter of fact,
I'm certainly not saying, I definitely agree with you. It's always been there.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if you really felt I wasn't that. I wouldn't be offended, but I'd be surprised. But I do often tell my friends, you know, I'll refer to myself as old Michael and new Michael.
Yeah.
All right, Taverty. I can't thank you enough for your time. You were amazing. Thank you for being my first guest. I'm truly honored that you were excited to do it.
Thank you, B.
And thank you for your truth today, man. I knew it would be great, but not as great as it was. So it's truly an honor. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it out.
We'll do it again, yeah?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right.
When you're huge, and I'll be like, hey, V, can I, yeah, maybe.
And I'll be like, yeah. Give me a second, lady.
Because I'm sure, I mean, I was thinking this is like, a new beginning for you, and I'm really happy that I'm a part of it, because I was a beginning for your photography, and I really think
you
were
epic.
So I'm excited for this.
Yay. Well, thanks, buddy. And as I always like to ask you, we'll finish it off with the question, who's better looking, me or you?
You.
That's why I love her. All right, you guys, thanks for coming out. That was awesome. We're going to be back in a couple of weeks, so hopefully you'll join us then. And if you feel so inclined, please leave a positive review on any of your favorite platforms. And if you didn't like us, of course, this is Xavier McGillicuddy signing out for today. It's Michael Vieira, you knucklehead. See you later.